recognize the rough hand of dictatorship even when it is thrust into their very face. As every man and woman in this island knows, if we could make some arrangement with the United States for the free entry of our fish into the great markets of that country, Newfoundland could well become unbelievably prosperous. Will any person in this country today, Mr. Chairman, disagree with me when I say that this is a matter which should have been dealt with by the United Kingdom government on our behalf when these base deals were first discussed in September 1940? But alas, it is too clearly evident that the interests of Newfoundland were not even a secondary consideration. This is the error, then, which we would now like to correct. This is the blunder, Mr. Chairman, which we would try to rectify. This is the national loss which we would attempt to make good. But when we try to do these things, Mr. Chairman, when we try to help our country, when we try to make our future brighter and more prosperous, what do we meet with? We come up against a stone wall of opposition and a denial of our rights to make any such effort on behalf of Newfoundland. Mr. Chairman, incidentally, there's another matter which comes to my mind at this point. If my memory serves me right, in the early days of this convention, the chairman was asked if the convention had the power to send a delegation from its membership to the United States. And on that question being directed by the late chairman to Professor Ware, that gentleman stated that this convention had such power. But today, the convention is informed through this government report that we have no such power.
I have to correct you there. The ruling of the late chairman and of Professor Weir was that this convention had a perfect right to send a delegation to the United States to consider possible political union with the United States, should the United States be so minded to receive any such delegation. But not. He gave no ruling whatever on the question as to whether trade negotiations would be on the same basis.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I take it that if we had power to send a delegation to the United States to discuss the political or economic future of the country, it certainly would involve tariff arrangements concerning our fish.
The inference is there anyhow. That is a question upon which I don't feel called upon to give a ruling
at
the moment.
Mr. Chairman, I quite understand that, because I am sure that if we were permitted to send a delegation to the United States of America to consider joining up with the United States of America, for instance, then one of the first things we'd discuss is about so much of our fish being put into the American market annually. And that is, at the present time, a matter on which we're not allowed to go to talk to them. However, Mr. Chairman, I want to know, and I'm sure the other delegates of this convention want to know, what is the meaning of this divergent opinion? Because that's what it is. What lies behind these two contradictory statements? Is Professor Ware right when he made that statement, or is the commission right in denying his statement? What is the justification for subjecting this convention to two such conflicting opinions? If Professor Ware is right, and I am inclined to believe he is, then the commission is guilty of an inexcusable act in ignoring his findings.